Aren't you glad this morning that that happened? That story that we just sang about, aren't you glad that that happened? Amen. God has been so gracious in giving us His Son, hasn't He? And that's what we do this week, this Advent time. We celebrate God's gift to us, God's Son. Before we go to prayer, let me just say, please be reminded of that prayer list. And please remember to pray for those families and families that are struggling and hurting. Pastor Charles mentioned to us this morning that I'll be doing Betty's son's funeral Friday. And I will be doing Craig's nephew's funeral Saturday. He was only 19 years old. Alive and vibrant one day and enters into eternity the next. And this morning at our first service, I was told, Barb Hershey told me, that most of you know Charlie and Estelle Poulton. They've moved to North Carolina now. Estelle's mother passed away this morning. And so remember those names on the prayer focus. There's been a lot of loss in our communities, in our family. And even though we come together to celebrate Christmas, a lot of people, our friends and family, have lost their loved ones this year, this week, and it's kind of just hard to be joyous. So I'm asking you simply pray for those that hurt and are burdened. Let's pray right now. Father, we are so thankful we have you to go to. We are so thankful, not just at Christmas season, but we are so thankful to you, O God, that as John 3:16 says, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We are so thankful that we get to celebrate Jesus and his birth at Christmas time. We do it every year. We are so thankful, Father, for the gift that you have given to humanity in your Son. And so, Father, know our hearts this morning. We are thankful. But also, Father, we lift up to you to those that are hurting. They've lost their loved ones. This week, this year, in the past. And Father, I lift them up to you, we lift them up to you, asking you in your goodness and your grace and your mercy to minister to them like only you can. Help them to feel your presence and to feel once again some joy because of your great love for us and because of Jesus. In spite of pain and sorrow and heaviness and hurt, Father, comfort them, encourage them, heal, and guide in this pathway called life, we pray. I pray for every name on the prayer focus and names that have been there and aren't now, but they're still hurting. And I ask, Father, that you would wrap your loving embrace in arms around them and comfort them. And I pray, Father, too, for our nation and our community, and I pray for those that don't know anything about Christmas, and some don't care, some don't want to know, some just aren't in the mood or whatever. I pray for them, Father, and ask that during this Christmas season that people would encounter the gift of Jesus, in such a powerful and transformational and profound way that it is, well, transforming. And even helps us have some joy again. And so, Father, I just pray this morning for all those that are here. Some are hurting deeply. For all those that couldn't come, some of those are hurting deeply. And I just pray for each and every one, whether we're hurting or whether we're not, that we would encounter you in a special way, in a profound way, and just rejoice again in the gift that you have given to humanity. Guide us as we look at Scripture a little while this morning. May your Spirit speak to our ears and to our hearts, and may you, our Heavenly Father, be glorified in this service and in services all over our communities, all over this state, all over this nation. May you be glorified, Father, all over the globe, because you are worthy of our praise. Lead us by your Spirit now as we continue to worship you. May we also hear from you, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bible, turning to Luke chapter 1. Thank you. Luke chapter 1. And if you haven't read Luke chapter 1 and 2 lately, I would encourage you to do that. They're a wonderful story that we're reminded about every Christmas. And Luke chapter 1 and 2 tells us a story perhaps more in detail than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so if you haven't read Matthew or Luke 1 and 2, I would encourage you to do that today or sometime soon. I'm going to jump forward to the 26th verse, Luke chapter 1. If you've got your Bible, I'm there. Otherwise, it'll be on the big screen for you. Today, I'm answering a question, or at least I'm going to attempt to. Why come as a baby? Next week, we're going to look at why the announcement to the shepherds. And the week after, we're going to look at why involve these wise men, we call them, these magi. So I'm hopeful over the course of the next Sundays to address some of these questions. And maybe you don't have any questions. Maybe Christmas is completely clear to you and all the questions are answered. But I'll tell you what, they're not all answered for me. I have a question once in a while. Any of the rest of you have one once in a while? I'll give you some questions for example in a moment. Let's read from Luke chapter 1, 26. Here we go. You know this story. Let's read it. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. This is the second, if you read Luke 1 lately, you know that this is the second time God has sent Gabriel directly to us with a wonderful, profound message. You've got to read the first part of the chapter. But now Gabriel has come again, this time to Galilee and a little town called Nazareth, and this time specifically to a virgin, a young lady, betrothed, who was pledged, engaged, if you will, to a man whose name was Joseph. Joseph was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, that's when Mary saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And when we get to 31, he is going to state his objective. He is going to deliver the message from God through the angel to this young lady. Verse 31 says, the angel to Mary, "And behold, you, Mary, will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." That's the message. That's a divine message that God had through Gabriel to this young woman. And the angel goes on, "This isn't going to be any ordinary baby. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he, your son, this baby that you will conceive, will reign and bear, will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, the logical question, the natural question, because this young woman, she was pledged to Joseph, but she was a young lady. She had had no sexual intimacy, and so she knew enough about where babies come from to ask the simple question of the angels, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" That "no" means sexual intimacy. babies don't come until that happens. She knew that, and she said, how am I going to be pregnant? I don't know a man. I have not known a man. The angel elaborated a little more. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And for proof, the angel adds a little more. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who had been called barren. That's Elizabeth. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We all know that story. We've read it. I think we've read it a lot of times. I love the story. I love the heavenly connection. I just love everything about Christmas and this good news that comes to mankind. Amen? When Jesus come to earth, God, I explained to that a couple of weeks ago, God in the flesh comes to earth. It's really good news for us. But as I was reading this, I was wondering, what was Mary thinking about? How was she going to answer the family when she begins to, show? I wonder about these things like, why did he even have to come as a baby? Have you ever wondered these things? Have you ever wondered why he didn't just blast into the scene and say, here I am, Messiah? Have you ever wondered why the heavenly announcement through the multitude of heavenly hosts, Luke chapter 2 says, came to the shepherds and not the Sanhedrin or the high priest? Have you ever wondered why these magi, these wise men, had this premonition, this inkling, months in advance and traveled perhaps hundreds of miles? When they got there, they said to Pilate, they said to the ruler of the area, we have come to see the King of the Jews. Have you ever wondered about these things? Why did he do the thing? Why did God do the things he did? Shepherds, wise men. Why not the religious leaders? Why a teenager to carry the Son of God into the world? I've wondered about these. I've wondered really so much more. And today, in the next two Sundays, I want to make an attempt to answer some of these questions. I hope that I'm somewhat sufficient in answering them from Scripture. And the first one is, why come as a baby? Am I the only one that's thought about that? Have you thought about that? Why come as a baby if he's going to be the conquering king and die for my sin? I mean, really, I think he could have just shown up. When you read the Old Testament, didn't it say over and over, man of God, angel of God? They just showed up. I think it has to do with being fully God and fully man. I think it has something to do with our acceptance of who he was. I wondered when I thought about Mary, how is that teenager going to explain this? I wondered about the ostracizing that she would receive from her family and friends and community when she started to show. I wondered, as a matter of fact, if in excuse me, if in the synagogues of the day, they were reminded of the words from Isaiah. Do you remember? Isaiah 7, 14 says, this is scripture that they would have gone over in the synagogues in those days. Here's what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus arrived, but nonetheless he said it and they taught from Isaiah. Here's what he said. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Well, what's that sign going to be? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. You remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. I wonder if they were teaching in the synagogues during that time or any time when Jesus was here for the 30 years that he was. Isaiah said, remember, there's going to be a sign, and the sign is, according to Isaiah, a virgin. Now that's not normal. We know that, right? A virgin to bear a child is not normal. Isaiah said, that's one of your signs. And when this virgin bears this child, this should be another hint. You shall call his name God with us. That should be a clue. That should be a hint. I'm sure they were talking about in their synagogues that scripture. I'm sure they were. Were they connecting the dots? I don't know. Or how about this one from Isaiah chapter 9, 6? Isaiah said this, for unto us a child is born. Isaiah said that. Unto us a son. Okay, we're learning from Isaiah, we're going to get a man child, we're going to get a male child someday. And not only is this going to be any ordinary baby, the government will be upon his shoulders. He is going to take control. And his name. Oh, his name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called Mighty God. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. His name will be called Prince of Peace. He's going to come as a baby, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I wonder, were they talking about that in the synagogues? I wonder if Mary was saying to anybody, do you remember what Isaiah said? I think this is being played out. I wonder even if Joseph, and you have to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to be reminded that Joseph, being a just man, the Bible said, found out she was pregnant. Well, if Joseph found out, I'm thinking there's others that found out too. And Joseph was not going to have her stoned, which would have been the Mosaic law, but as Matthew said, was going to just quietly let her go her own way. And then an angel encountered him too, and Joseph was told by the angel how this pregnancy happened. I wonder if Joseph told anybody. Am I the only one that wonders? I wonder these things. I wonder why come as a baby? Because Isaiah said he was going to come as a baby. For starters, Isaiah said Almighty God, Prince of Peace, was coming as a baby. Isaiah reminded us he wasn't coming in the normal way. He was coming by way of a virgin. Let me read to you a paragraph from Dr. David Jeremiah, and maybe this will also help. It helped me understand a little more. Here's what he said, and I quote this from Dr. Jeremiah. Jesus is the one, like no other, for he was fully human and fully God. Now, I know that's not easy to understand, but that's what he was. Fully human and fully God. Dr. Jeremiah said, all at the same time. Nothing about his humanity could detract from his godliness. Nothing about his godliness could detract from his humanity. Only because this is true, that he was God-man, only because this is true can he reconcile the Father in heaven with his children on earth. He is the man of both worlds. He is the bridge by which God comes to earth and people come to heaven. I say hallelujah. Amen? You ain't sleeping on me yet, are you? This is good news. Dr. Jeremiah continues, in that regard, we have seen that the virgin birth is a sign of his divinity. He comes to earth from the outside, pure and clean. He is no way a product of this world, yet he is one of us. He arrives from heaven with perfection and godliness of which no man or woman is capable, yet he takes the full human journey, which even God in heaven had not taken. How could we follow in his footsteps as a man if we hadn't seen him crawl as a baby? To make the full sacrifice on our behalf, Jesus had to make the full commitment. It would have meant very little to us if he had sprung from heaven, fully formed, bathed in heavenly glory, saying, here I am, here's my hands, here's my feet, place me on the cross, for I'm willing to die. Instead, we see him as a baby in a manger. We see him at the temple as a boy on the verge of maturity, already, in his words, must be about my Father's business. We see Mary and Joseph wondering at him, trying to understand as he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all his people. We see all these things and we start to get a picture, perhaps a little clearer, about if we can relate to him, to God in the flesh, he needed to come as a baby so we could see it and visualize and understand who he was, God incarnate. And to go to the cross, it wouldn't have done any good for just some old guy to die for us. It needed to be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Dr. Jeremiah puts it this way. If he had been God only, his sacrifice would have been cheap and unconvincing. If he had been man only, his sacrifice would have no power. He'd just be another martyr like 10,000 others. But he was man and he was God, and therefore he was all in all. He came as a child to confront and conquer every challenge and every temptation common to humanity. We trust him with our lives because he is God. We love him with our hearts because we know that once upon a time, he was a tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. End quote. And so the question I have for us this morning to ponder for a few minutes before we sing Silent Night, what will I do with Jesus? Are you still with me? What will I, as an individual, do with Jesus? You see, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we have to decide. Will I look at him as just another man in history? I told the earlier service this morning, I was listening to Christian radio just a little tiny bit this week. I don't listen to radio much anymore. I can't hear it that good. I've lost too much hearing. So I don't listen to a lot of radio, but I was listening to a guest speaker on Janet Parshall throughout sometime late in the afternoon, and he was talking about the evidences of Jesus the Christ. And he said, when you really do the research, when you really dig in case you're a skeptic or an atheist or just not even sure it's all believable, he said, when you really do the research, the first century writers, the archaeological finds, it's all there. There's more evidence for Jesus the Christ than there is for Julius Caesar. That's true, there is. And so if it's true, then we ask ourselves, I ask myself, and we must ask ourselves, what will I do with Jesus? Do I believe in the virgin birth? Because that's part of the story. Do I believe that God left the splendor of heaven to become a baby and eventually our Savior? Do I believe that Jesus is and was Emmanuel? We've got to ask ourselves, and we've got to come to that question and wrestle with it and answer it in time. What will I do with Jesus? I've mentioned this before, but in Josh McDowell's, one of his books, perhaps Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he quotes C.S. Lewis with this question. Either Jesus is a liar, or lunatic, or he's Lord. We've got to ask ourselves which one. You and I, 21st century, we have to decide about these events we've read about and we know so well because we refer to it often. We have to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? And let me say this, friends. This is not original thought with me either, but I've used it oftentimes. No decision to follow Christ wholeheartedly, surrender to Christ, is a decision for eternity. You say, yeah, but Jim, I go to church once in a while. I'm a member someplace, as a matter of fact. No decision to follow the Christ is a decision for eternity. When Jesus was born and the angels made that appearance to the shepherds that night, we'll talk about that next week. The shepherds had to decide, is it real? Is it relevant? The shepherds had to decide, am I going to go to Bethlehem and see this great thing which has come to pass? When God give this inkling to these wise men, these kings or these whatever they were, months in advance to get on them camels and head hundreds of miles following this star, they had to decide. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Is it real? They had to decide. When the nation of Israel, when Jesus became 30 years old, began his 3-year ministry, and when the nation of Israel had heard the possibility that the Messiah has come, they even used that word, the nation had to decide, is it real? And if it is, what am I going to do about it? And friends, I'm just suggesting to us this morning, at some point, we must decide, is he Lord? Is he Lord to me? We must decide. Have I given my life to him? He beckoned the disciples, come. He beckons us, come and follow me. And I would say this to close before we sing our silent night song together. Eternity depends on what you decide about Jesus. We're no different than the shepherds. We're no different than the Magi. We're no different than the nation of Israel. We have to decide, what will I do with Jesus? Will I make him Lord of my life? Jane, let's get ready to sing. Will I trust him completely? This is not a denominational thing. I've told you that 100 times, and you probably get tired of hearing it, but I see people putting too much faith, putting their faith in something that isn't what God asks us to. He asks us to put our faith in the Son of God, repent of sin, believe in who said he was as Messiah, and receive him by faith and commit to follow. That's what he asks of us. And so, why did he come as a baby? Why did he come at all? Because he loved us. He loved us. He loved us even in our sin, even in our warts, in our wrinkles, in our blemishes. He came as a baby because Isaiah said he would, as a sign the Messiah is coming. He came as a human so we could relate to. He came as God so he could die for my sin and yours. The question remains for every one of us. What am I going to do with Jesus? Am I going to surrender to him as Lord? And I encourage you, if you haven't, friends, pray to God while we're singing this song. Father, forgive me. I've been doing things my own way. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to commit my life to you. I want to follow you. Forgive me and take over. You've got to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. Eternity depends upon it.
Heavenly Father, you are indeed the God of our redeeming grace. If we just simply by faith place our faith and profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, your promise is that we will no longer be slaves to this world, but heirs to a kingdom because we are now your children. So, Father, if we still yet do not comprehend or grasp that, may, as we heard from the Old Testament, that you would take those hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh, that they will indeed grasp the depth of your love for us. Your mercy overshadows everything we could have ever done in our life. Our past can be just exactly that, past. What is ahead is now new, and it is in your presence, and it is indeed by your mercy. So, Father, we place our trust and our faith in you today, asking as we go that we will be in your loving arms of peace for this season and for always. In Jesus' name, amen.